And we're back. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. We are here every single week, and we are excited about being here every single week because every single week I get to come in and I get to talk about life. Today's topics are a bit heavy, but I can assure you this is going to be an upbeat show, but we are going to dive into some things that I think it is important that we discuss. So today we're going to talk about first, we're going to talk about life matters. Now, the last few weeks, I've been talking about that briefly in each show, and today we're going to devote an entire segment to life matters because life matters is our prayer initiative, and it starts Sunday, and it goes through next Saturday. So that is next week, life matters. We're going to dive into that and talk a little bit about the prayer initiative that we're having and the different prayers that we're going to be having and the different stations that we have each and every day next week. Then we're going to get into something that the blog is going to talk about. The blog that I wrote for tomorrow discusses is a society in conflict. So what that points to is our current society with laws on the books and with everything that we have as a society, things that outrage us, things that don't outrage us. I believe we are living in a time, we are living in a society that is at conflict with itself. And I'll go a little bit deeper in that, but I think it explains our current environment, and I think that it will shed some light on kind of what we're seeing around the country currently. And then we're going to also discuss, that'll take us into a portion of the show where we're going to discuss assisted suicide, so doctor-assisted suicide. California just became the fourth state to legalize this, and then we're going to look at the Hippocratic Oath. We're going to look at everything that doctors should stand for, and we're going to look at that debate. So the debate of doctor-assisted suicide for terminally ill patients and what path that is leading us down and what that may mean for the pro-life movement. A lot of times when we talk about the pro-life movement, we focus on the unborn. But what we have to understand is being pro-life doesn't just mean that we care about babies. So it means we're pro-life at every stage. Which includes the terminally ill, which includes those that are a little bit more seasoned or in older age. And then we're going to end the show, and what I want to do at the end of the show is just simply talk about the services that we provide at Hope Resource Center. I don't think we give enough time to that. We kind of gloss over that in different times at different weeks, but what I want to do is devote about 10 minutes just talking specifically about the services that we provide to give you an idea about what we can do for maybe your neighbor, for you, for a family member, and that type thing. So we're gonna end the show with that. But before we do all of that, what I want to do is start by talking about Life Matters. So Life Matters, again, is a prayer initiative that starts on October 11th and goes through October 17th. So Sunday through Saturday, 7 days devoted to prayer. Now, the reason that we're doing this is because when I first started at Hope, I sat down with every single staff member and just began to ask them questions, what their goals were, what they were looking forward to, what they saw as Hope's mission, some things that they would like to add, some things they would like to take away. And pretty much everybody said, I think we should pray. We pray a lot, but I think we should pray more. And so I got with some of our staff and I said, I think we should do a prayer initiative. We should focus specific time to prayer. So we sat down and from that, praying through it and looking through it, I came across Joshua 6 and talking about the walls of Jericho. And I just saw that how Joshua's army did so many great things. But God said, you're going to take Jericho, but you're going to do it a little bit different this time. And this time, what I want you to do is I want you to pray, and I want you to bring in the band guys, and I want you to walk around the city, and I want you to be obedient, and I want you to be faithful, and I want you to be consistent. And when you do all of those things, I'm going to do something incredible. Okay, so in that context, they take the city after they do exactly what God told them to do. Now, when I look at that text, I see that being consistent and being faithful and being intentional in our prayer and being obedient to God, if we are all those things, God's going to do a major work. So we're not doing this to take the city back necessarily. We're not doing this to take the country back or the world back or anything like that. What we're doing is we're wanting to pray specifically for clinics like ours, so for Hope and for other clinics around the country. We want to pray for abortion clinics. We want to pray for staff members of all clinics, for patients that are walking in the doors of an abortion clinic, patients that are walking in the doors of Hope. We want to pray specifically and intentionally throughout the week next week for those things. So that's what we're doing. And then I went to a conference after we decided we're going to do a prayer initiative. I went to a conference, met with some other directors from clinics around the country, and I begin to see that God has blessed us here in East Tennessee with a great staff, with a lot of resources at our disposal. And some of these clinics across the country are really operating on just very little. And so I came back and I said, you know what I want to do is I want to involve as many clinics as we can. I want to reach out across the country and get people involved in what we're doing. So we did that. We sent out, a ton of letters. I sent out emails. I've contacted CareNet. I've contacted NIFLA, which are umbrella organizations for medical clinics like ours. I've contacted Abby Johnson, who is a former director of Planned Parenthood and now is running a ministry pulling people out of the abortion clinic world and helping them find jobs and helping them get placement and those type things. And so I've contacted all these people because I want them to be on board, but I also want them joining us in prayer. So the focus here isn't to raise money. The focus here is let's get on our knees and let's pray to the author of life. And let's go to God with all that we're doing. So as we were preparing for Life Matters and we're getting ready to do that, then these videos started coming out talking about aborted babies and their body parts being harvested and sold. And then we begin to see presidential candidates talking about abortion and talking about life. And I mean, just today, Dr. Carson was on The View and he boldly stood for life in a very hostile environment. He stood for life and he spoke truth. And so we're seeing it all around us. We're seeing it all around us. Folks are talking about, they're talking about life. They're talking about abortion. So as we're thinking about this prayer initiative, now I'm looking and going, God is absolutely involved in this because all of this stuff is going on. And we decided to focus on October 11th and the week of October 11th because October 16th is Planned Parenthood's birthday. So we focused on that week because we want to pray for them. We want to pray for their staff. We want to pray for their patients. And so far we have 30 states that are signed up. So 30 states represented in the country. So more than half of the country is represented in joining us in prayer. In ministries in all walks of life, we have places around the world that are joining with us in prayer. So it's going to be a great opportunity to celebrate God and to pray. And it all starts Sunday, October 11th. And then it ends October 17th, which is a Saturday, which is also a bye week. So there's no football game, no UT football game, October 17th, which is another God thing, because I didn't look at the football schedule when we were trying to decide when we were going to have this event. So there's no football game. So at 7 o'clock, October 17th, under a large tent at Hope Resource Center, we are coming together and we're going to worship. And we're going to celebrate what God is doing. And we're going to get together as believers and as friends and family and join together, sing some songs, be in worship. There's going to be prayer. There'll be a brief message on life and what that means for us and how we should be standing boldly for life and unapologetically and how we need to get up and we need to stand up for those that cannot stand for themselves. So that's October 17th under a tent at Hope Resource Center, 2700 Painter Avenue, right across from Tyson Park. And the great thing about that is up until 2012, there was an abortion clinic right across the road from Hope Resource Center. So not only are we going to be celebrating God right there at Hope Resource Center, but we're going to be doing it while we can see where an abortion clinic used to be. So we're not going to miss that as well. That is going to be such a great opportunity, such a wonderful night. Some friends of mine, Wayne and Natalie and Elena, are going to be leading some music for us. And so a great night that I hope you can join us, 7 o'clock, October 17th. There at Hope Resource Center, 2700 Painter Avenue. One thing I want to do right now is talk about, I've been talking about all the prayers and the different things. Well, I want to go through the schedule with you. So Sunday, October 11th at 1 p.m., I would invite you to come out to Hope Resource Center. We're going to pray about unplanned pregnancy. So we're going to pray for those in our churches who may be facing an unplanned pregnancy, for those sitting in our churches who are post-abortive and seeking healing and restoration, for those making a choice about their pregnancy today. So that's what we're going to be praying about at 1 o'clock. At 3 o'clock, we're going to focus our prayer to abortion providers. So we're going to pray that God would place people in the lives of abortion providers who could minister and speak truth to them. So what we're also going to do is we're going to pray that they would get plugged in with a ministry. So, and then there were none, which is Abby Johnson's ministry. And I'm going to have Abby on the show with me coming up on November 17th. She's going to join me on the show. But her ministry, again, pulls people out, pulls staff out of abortion clinics and helps find them employment for those that are wanting to leave that that industry. So we're going to pray for abortion providers and pray for the staff's eyes to be open and their hearts to be turned toward God. And then at 5 p.m. on Sunday, we're going to pray for the body of Christ. We're going to pray that the body of Christ would love, support, and encourage those facing an unplanned pregnancy. We're going to pray for pastors and church leaders to speak boldly about life from the pulpit. So that's Sunday. So Sunday, you'll go to church that morning, and then that afternoon, we would invite you to come join us at Hope Resource Center. Monday, October 12th, we're going to pray at 9 a.m., 1 p.m., and 3 p.m. At 9 a.m., again, we're going to focus on unplanned pregnancy. 1 p.m., abortion providers. 3 p.m., the body of Christ. And we're going to do that every single day. Every single day, we're going to be praying. And then again, October 17th, we're going to come together. The culmination is joining together in worship and crying out to the life author, the one that gave us the breath in our lungs. That's how we're going to end it, October 17th. What a sweet, special week it's going to be next week. I hope you would join us. If you can't join us at Hope, I hope you'll join us from your house, from your office, from the bathroom, whatever that looks like for you. We would welcome you. Thanks for listening. We'll be back in just a second. We're going to talk more. And we're back. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director, Hope Resource Center. I hope you now have a better understanding of Life Matters that begins this Sunday at 1 p.m. at Hope Resource Center. You can pray wherever you are. We would certainly welcome that and encourage that to join us in 30 other states that are joining with us in prayer for life and the medical clinics that are out there celebrating it, and even those that don't celebrate it. But need prayer, we certainly want you to do that. Right now, I want to shift gears just a little bit and talk about a society in conflict. So here in the past couple weeks, we have been faced with a number of things and again, seen death litter our headlines. So we watch the news, we read the news, and everything is just down, and it's talking about people dying, shooting sprees, floods, all kinds of stuff. And some people get outraged. Some people do not get outraged. And when I look at that, I see us as a society that truly is in conflict. And I think that the best thing for me to do is just read the blog post that's going to be on our page tomorrow. So investinghope.com deals with this. And what I'm talking about and what I think we all need to look at is, does life truly have value? And is our society in conflict? So the past few weeks, we've once again brought a great deal of conversation concerning life and death. Our country has been faced with another school shooting, a generational type flood in South Carolina, hearings on abortion and assisted suicide for the terminally ill, and a Doctors Without Borders hospital being bombed. Sadness and destruction continue to penetrate the depths of our society. I am no longer shocked at anything I see or read in the news. My heart hurts and my spirit aches as so many try to explain the harshness of this world. So the topics mentioned above are only a snippet of what is going on. I could list page after page after page of atrocities and death. I could devote every post, I could devote every show for the next year to the destruction around us, and I would never run out of new material. This is a very sad truth, but one that does not have to saturate our reality. So why do we focus so much on the negative? Why do we focus so much on death and not life? Why are we spending time dabbling in the evil when there is goodness all around us? Because the truth is, I could also devote every post and show for the next year on uplifting stories, and I would never run out of new material. The truth is the same, yet our airwaves seem to embrace the evil around us instead of the good. And it is this truth that I want to focus on today. It is this truth, I believe, that drives the darkness and evil in our world. Now, I understand that theologically, this can only be explained by Genesis 3 and sin entering the world. I'm in no way denying that. However, I think a great deal would change in our society if we spent more time celebrating life instead of glorifying death. Now, I'm not calling for us to neglect reporting the news. We need to know if a murderer is on the loose. We need to know if a school is under attack. We need to know if a flood is coming our way and people are in danger. This does not have to change. I am simply asking for a real debate among people in our society on life. It is this life debate that answers my next question. Why do we need to know a murderer is on the loose, a school is under attack, or a flooding is coming our way? We report this because we value life. This must be the driving force behind what we do. When this is not a priority, we become a society that either celebrates death or, at the very least, devalues life. Now let's take some time to dive into this truth. We currently live in a country that tells everyone, through laws on the books, that a woman can choose to terminate her pregnancy at a time of her choosing for just about any reason. So think about that for a second. The current law allows for women to terminate their pregnancy based on a rape, incest, or health of the mother. But we tend to neglect that the law also allows for abortion based on gender, race, father, convenience, or for simple birth control. Now, I know that the media would prefer to not discuss this truth or the reasons why pregnancies are terminated. I realize that this is taboo, but we must come to grips with our laws that not only allow for termination, but celebrate termination for any reason. So notice that what I was talking about was the current laws on the books allow for an abortion based on gender and race. So that never gets talked about. In that segment on The View today with Dr. Carson, no one talked about those that are out there deciding whether or not to have their child based on race, or based simply on who the dad is, or based on the gender of the child. Now that should concern us. Many of those that support the current laws concerning abortion are also making a push for laws to allow doctor-assisted suicides for terminally ill patients, and those that have reached an old age and are less productive, quote-unquote. We have seen this in Oregon and more recently in a hearing in one of the most conservative states, our current state, Tennessee. A culture of death is being pushed, and one must wonder, what is the end game? Why are we devaluing life at the first stage and last stage? Why are we championing a culture of death decisions? These questions are not attacks on those that disagree with me. These questions are simply being put forward to garner conversations and answers. I truly want to know where others are coming from. I want to have these conversations because I'm deeply concerned about the future of our society. I'm deeply concerned about the world my kids are inheriting. I'm deeply concerned because I know that a culture that devalues life at its first and last stage, so at conception and old age, via abortion and doctor-assisted suicide, is ultimately a culture that devalues life at every stage. So hear that again. A culture that devalues life at its first and last stage, conception and old age, via abortion and doctor-assisted suicide, is ultimately a culture that devalues life at every stage. Now, I realize that this is not a belief agreed upon by the majority, but it is one we must look at. We are a society in conflict and confusion. We are deeply saddened when a child goes missing or loses its battle with a disease, yet we care not if that battle would have been lost in the womb. We are deeply saddened if a drunk driver kills a mom and her unborn baby, but we care not if that same mom made it to an abortion clinic and ended the life of that same child. We are deeply saddened if a person is attacked in their old age, but we care not if that person takes his life with the help of a doctor. We celebrate the fight and courage of a cancer patient, yet we embrace a doctor going against his or her oath and administering poison to take the life that so many fight for. The conflict is clear, and actually, I think, for the most part, it probably comes from a decent place, a place where people are trying to love without loving too much or to get involved without overstepping. I get it. I kind of understand your stance, but I urge you to do more. Life is not something that should be devalued. We should truly celebrate it at every stage. What a gift we have in this life, a gift that must be stewarded well. So seek to make an impact. Seek to step out of conflict and confusion and step into consistency and celebrating life. Life is precious and deserves our care. And we at Hope have made it our mission to stand boldly for all life. Put the conflict to the side and watch as life becomes contagious and celebrated. For we know that life is never a burden, but always a blessing. So those are things that we must think about as a society. So we must think about as a society of believers, as a society of non-believers, that we are living in this country, we are living in this culture together. Some of us loving Jesus, some of us that could give a rip about Jesus or any type of religion. Some that are Muslim, some that are Jew, some that are Mormon, some that are Catholic, some that are fill in the blank, some that are atheist. So what we have to do is look at our society and say, are we in conflict? And we also have to look at logically, where do we stand? And that's the problem, is logic has been taken out of the conversation. So logically and scientifically, we know that a pregnancy produces a baby. So a product of conception is a child. We know that. Science tells us that, and logic tells us that. Everybody you run into on the street is a product of conception. Logically, we should be outraged when a kid is kidnapped. We should be outraged or upset or devastated when a kid loses its battle to a disease. But why, logically, does that not garner the same outrage or the devastation when an abortion occurs? I read an article yesterday that talked about someone posted it and said, you gotta read this and hear their story. And I thought, oh man, this is probably going to be a really rough tale of someone that went through a whole lot and had to have an abortion. And it turns out that no, she just decided she didn't want the child. There were really not any other circumstances. She knew who the dad was. So she just put it out there and said, I didn't want this child. Now, are people outraged? No, because it was posted on a well-known website. So all I'm saying is we are a society in conflict. There's no question. But logically, what does that mean? What does that mean for us when we have these conversations? What does that mean for the laws that are currently on the books that currently put ourselves in conflict with each other? Just some things to think about, and I hope you will think about it as you look at ways for you and your family to stand for life and to celebrate life and every life at every stage. When we come back, we're going to talk about assisted suicide and what that means for the life movement. Be back in a sec. Back. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Thanks for listening today. We're just going to move right along. We just got through talking about a society in conflict, and that really leads us into the conversation that I want to have now about doctor-assisted suicide. So currently in our country, there are four states, California just becoming the fourth the last couple days, that have this on the book. So it's legal in currently in Oregon, Washington, Vermont, and California. And the reason I'm talking about this is because we spend a lot of time talking about life at conception, but we must also talk about life at every stage. So if you are pro-life, and if you celebrate life, and that if you believe that a baby is a baby at conception, so life begins at conception, then isn't life just as precious of the terminally ill or those of old age? Those are things that we need to think about. We need to talk about. So I want to read just some snippets from an article written concerning California passing this legislation. So California Governor Jerry Brown signed a dangerous bill today to make the state the fourth to legalize assisted suicide, following Oregon, Washington, and Vermont. In his signing message, Brown said he signed the bill because he wouldn't want to be in pain in his final days, regardless of the fact that pain relief is readily available without killing patients. So these are things that we need to think about. Right now we have governors, we have legislators all across this country that are having this question. right? So that they're having hearings on it. They're talking about it, and they're saying, well, don't we want to give someone the right to choose to die? Don't we want them to go out the way they want to go out? That's a question that I guess we should, or at least a conversation we should have. And we've even had it in the state of Tennessee, one of the most red states in the country. We've had this conversation. Former gubernatorial candidate asked Tennessee to allow assisted suicide. And former Democratic gubernatorial candidate who is terminally ill is asking a state court in Tennessee to declare he has a right to end his life when he wants and on his terms. So this is a longtime activist and former candidate for governor, John J. Hooker. He's 84 years old, and he has terminal cancer. So they just had a hearing not too long ago, a couple weeks ago, here in Tennessee, talking about doctor-assisted suicide, and John J. Hooker arguing that he should have the right to take medicine or to have a doctor give him medicine that would take his life. And so what he's saying is, I shouldn't have to die a slow death. I should be able to decide when I want to die and how I want to die. And he's saying that a doctor should be able to help me in that process. And that's the concern that I have. I mean, I have a lot of concerns about doctor-assisted suicide or any kind of suicide or assisted suicide. But the thing that concerns me about doctors getting involved is the Hippocratic Oath. And if you haven't read the Hippocratic Oath, I would encourage you to Google it. But the classic version of the Hippocratic Oath, it says this. It says a lot of things, but it says this specifically. I will neither give a deadly drug to anybody who asks for it, nor will I make a suggestion to this effect. Similarly, I will not give to a woman an abortive remedy. In purity and holiness, I will guard my life and my art. So the Hippocratic Oath says, and this is what doctors look to, says, I will neither give a deadly drug to anybody who asks for it, nor will I make a suggestion to this effect. And then I think it's amazing that the next sentence just kind of disappeared in the modern version, but it also says, I will not give to a woman an abortive remedy. Because why? Because doctors are supposed to be there to celebrate life, to save life, to prolong life, not to take it away. So this is a dilemma. This is a dilemma for folks that are arguing for rights. This is a dilemma for a society that's in conflict. This is something that we must stand for. Like I said earlier, it is a very odd place to be as a society where we celebrate those that beat cancer. So if you've ever been to a Relay for Life walk and you've seen the celebrations of people that have beat cancer and overcome it, we celebrate that, and rightfully so. We also live in a society that says, well, if they think they're too sick, or if a doctor has told them it's terminal and their life's going to end, well, they should just be able to end it anytime they want. Now, that, as a pro-life person, we need to be doing everything we can to sustain life and celebrate life. And we certainly don't need to have doctors prescribing drugs they know are going to kill. I mean, that's a concern that we should have. If doctors are out there prescribing drugs that are going to take the life of a human. So what this brings me to next is an article that I found today from a lady that in the article, it's actually a blog, and it says, my mom just died of brain cancer. Here's why she opposed assisted suicide. So listen to this. Every time I walk into work with a French vanilla swirl latte from Dunkin' Donuts in my hand, life and death are waiting for me. And up until this week, I thought I'd seen just about everything. I performed CPR till I thought my arms would fall off to keep blood pumping through a child's body. I've administered life-saving medication to a patient having a stroke and seen the joy on his face when he regained his speech. I've had a patient fall through a ceiling onto another patient. And then she says, I can't even make that up. I've held the hand of patients as they've taken their last breath, and I've hugged family members so tight I couldn't breathe. I really thought I'd seen it all. And then last week, my mom died. She had a brain tumor. I knew all about it, even cared for patients with her same diagnosis. I knew what was going to happen. But no matter how much I thought I was ready, I wasn't. Death stings, and my beautiful 52-year-old mother's grave is freshly dug. But my mom's name is Dr. Maggie Carner, and she was the textbook definition of awesome. Don't take my word for it. You can Google her. She devoted her entire life to helping others and spreading Christ's beautiful gift of mercy for all. I'm not sure I've ever heard my mom speak more passionately than when she was talking about the word mercy. And that's why my mom used her last days on earth to campaign against a very dangerous use of that word. A merciful death. Some would call it a right to die. My mom is most famous for a YouTube video that went viral entitled A Letter to Brittany Maynard. Brittany Maynard was the, in case you don't know, was a patient, a cancer patient in Oregon who was terminally ill and decided to take her own life. She decided to, because in Oregon it's legal, she decided to go to a doctor that would prescribe her drugs that would take her life. And she went on all the morning shows. And we had on the Today Show and Good Morning America and all these shows, we had the celebration of someone taking their life. Now, does that not concern us? Does that not show a society in conflict? So back to this article. Unfortunately, Brittany eventually chose to end her life, but my mom never stopped advocating for her. In her words, how long will it be before the right to die quickly? Now listen to this. How long will it be before the right to die quickly devolves into the duty to die? What does this mean for all who are elderly or disabled or just wondering if they've become a burden to the family? Even while she was receiving chemotherapy, my mom spoke at the Connecticut State House to lobby against the right to die bill, and the bill did not pass. That's why my heart breaks tonight to learn the news that California's governor has just signed legislation allowing residents of the state to take their own lives in the face of terminal illness. This makes 5 states in our nation allowing assisted suicide. Believe me, terminal illness sucks. There's no way to sugarcoat that. It stole my mom from me along with so many others. But listen to this. Listen to the heart of this woman. But it also gave me something that I could never begin to describe. The opportunity to serve her. My family and I cared for her when she could no longer care for herself. And isn't that what we are as pro-life people? We are standing for those that can't stand for themselves, giving voice to those that don't have a voice. My family and I cared for her when she could no longer care for herself. We were her left arm when hers was paralyzed. And when that became too much, we had the distinct privilege of being able to visit her at her hospice facility during the last month of her life. She was not herself and many times confused, but she could laugh. Even up until the day before she died, we laughed about seagulls that she thought were drones. We laughed about how much she loved chocolate and McFlurries from McDonald's. We laughed about all the stupid things I did as a kid. And then when she could no longer laugh, we sang to her and we prayed with her. My mom said it best in an op-ed that she wrote, "My brain may be cancerous, but I still have lots to contribute to society as a strong woman, wife, and mother, while my family can daily learn the value of caring for me in my last days with compassion and dignity." I'm here to say that she was right. No matter how hard it was and still is, she was so right. And the greatest honor of my life was to care for my mom in her last days. I hope and pray that her legacy will continue to inspire caring American voters to support those choosing to squeeze life for every drop that it has to give. Support hospice care programs that give true meaning to death with dignity. Let those fighting illness and disabilities know that they are precious no matter what. They should never have to feel for a second that they might have a duty to die just because the option is available. So that's why I wanted to talk about that. We're pro-life. And at Hope Resource Center, we're seeing men and women walk in our doors, and most of the time that is dealing with an unplanned pregnancy. So we're going to deal with not only the woman that walks in our door that is at some random stage of life, but also an unborn baby that is at the very early stage of life. And that matters to us, and that's why we get up every single day to do this work. But as pro-life people, as believers, as people that are populating churches all across this country, we must also stand for life at the last stage. Because I'm telling you, folks, if we do not, if we become a society that is unwilling to stand for life at the beginning stage, and a society that is unwilling to stand for life at the last stage, then we will no doubt be a society that is unwilling to stand for life at any stage. It is what will happen to us if we're not already there, and that's my concern. We may be already there. I mean, we have 4 or 5 states already that have these laws on the books. We have, as a law across the land, we have a law in place that says life at the earliest stage matters not. And now we're putting things in place that says the life at the last stage matters not. So last stage meaning old age or terminally ill. And it is time for us to be willing to stand. Because if we're not willing to stand, then we simply become a society that kills itself. So isn't that irony? That in celebrating death the way we do, we ultimately bring about death to the society and culture that we live in. So we, in reality, assist with the suicide of this great place that we get to call home. Think about that. We'll be back in a sec. We're going to talk about Hope and the services that we offer there on 2700 Painter Avenue. And we're back. This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center, and been a great show today. It's flown by. An hour already done. We got one last segment, and what I want to talk about now is I simply want to walk through the services that we offer at Hope Resource Center. Again, as I said at the beginning today, sometimes we gloss over that, but I do want to talk about that. So we offer at Hope Resource Center, again, been open since 1997, right there on Painter Avenue across from Tyson Park, really close to campus. And all of our services, I want to make sure we point this out, every single thing that we do is free to our patients. Okay, so no charge at all. We have pregnancy tests, ultrasound imaging, STD testing and treatment, parenting classes actually going on right now as I speak. We have a brand new class coming in, I think it's 14 or 15 moms that are coming in tonight. They're currently pregnant, expecting their baby. They all chose life, which we celebrate. And tonight, they start their parenting class. We just ended a session of classes a couple weeks ago, and we're immediately jumping back in to start another one. So what that looks like is they're going to go through these parenting classes. They're going to be paired up with a mentor. They're then going to, each night, we'll talk about different things as far as safe sleep, labor and delivery. So what we're doing is we are preparing them for their baby. We're preparing them to deliver. We're preparing them for everything that they may go through physically, emotionally. We're getting them ready. And then when it's all said and done, after they go through all these classes and do everything they need to do, we will give them a baby shower. We'll love them. We'll give them a car seat, pack and play, those type of things. We're going to love them well. And then they'll be able to earn what we call baby bucks, and they'll be able to go into our Stork shop and get clothes and things that they need for their baby, so diapers and things like that. They'll be able to do that. So they have to earn those baby bucks. And it's such a great opportunity to pour into the women and sometimes men that are coming in our doors. So we also offer mentoring and material assistance that I just kind of talked about. Again, the classes that are going on right now are such a great opportunity for new moms, nervous moms, moms that found themselves in crisis with an unplanned pregnancy. It's a great opportunity for them to get plugged in, to sit down with other new moms, to build relationships, and also a great opportunity to feel love and to feel respected and to get their dignity back, because so many of them have had that stripped. So it's just that it's a great thing that we get to do. This again is why we do what we do. There is, I talked about a conflict in our society. There is no conflict in our stance. There is absolutely no conflict in our stance at Hope. We are unapologetically pro-life. And that includes baby, but that includes mom, and that includes dad. That's why we're having those classes right now. It's because that mom matters to us as much as that baby matters to us. And so we celebrate life at all stages. And this is the logical response to a person in crisis. The logical response when you see someone in crisis is to help them. The logical response is to celebrate life. So when these patients come in our door and they find themselves in crisis, the last thing we're going to do is say, well, get out of here. You brought this on yourself. No, we're going to love them. because that's the logical response. That is what we've been called to do. It's also the theological response. As Christians and as believers, we are to wrap our arms around them and shower them with love and grace and mercy and have conversations with them, build relationships with them. This is why we do what we do. I'm telling you, folks, it is why I get up every single day. Every single day I get up and first thing on my mind usually is going to be my kids and my wife. But the next thing on my mind is going to be how are we going to impact this community today? How are we going to celebrate Jesus today as we love the community that he's put us in? Is that your motivation every single day? Now, I'm not saying that there are some days where I'm terrible, because I am. Some days I am terrible and I have a bad attitude and I'm just down in the dumps. But I try every single day to get my mind set on the things that matter. Get your mind set on the kingdom work, regardless of what you do for a living. If you wake up every single day and your mind goes to the kingdom work, you're going to be okay. And if you start seeing people as image bearers, and you start seeing people as actual humans that matter, and humans that God created, think of how the interactions will change. Because I'm just going to tell you, our culture and our laws and our society are pushing an agenda that is going directly opposite of everything that we know to be truth. So when that's happening, and when your society and your culture is in conflict with itself, then we must stand up for truth, and we must stand up for those that can't stand for themselves. And we're prepared to do that at Hope, and we would welcome you to join us on this great life-loving mission as we celebrate life every single day. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.